Thank you, Brother Gall. I'm glad when he comes to stay. Amen. Thank you for that good message and song. Brother Roloff made that one of his common songs. We hear it on our radio station, but what a good message it has. Hope you listen to Brother Roloff. You say, well, he's out of style. He was always out of style, but now he's been dead a long time, but the truth's never out of style. And he still brings conviction if you listen to him. Amen. I tell you what, he sings a lot about living by faith. And most of us might claim to do that, and we probably do, but maybe not quite as much as he did. One of his statements, I, through the years, thought a lot about it. He sings, living by faith, and I feel no alarm. I'm going to be honest with you. I've tried to live by faith, and sometimes I've felt the alarm. But that's a good truth to meditate on. Amen? Sure is. Go to the Psalms with me this morning. Psalms, the longest one. The Psalms I want you to go to is 119. Psalms 119 got 176 verses. And, of course, the whole Bible is supernatural, but you can see the fingerprints of God in this psalm so clearly, so evident. And I want you to go to the 119th psalm, and we're going to start in about verse 57. We're going to read through the 8 verses through 64, and I'm going to kind of use verse 62 for my main text today. I want to talk to you a little bit on the subject, why I give thanks. I'm going to be a little bit personal on it today. Week of Thanksgiving, I hope you did a lot of meditating about what you ought to be thankful for. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, the song says. And I'll tell you something, if you'll count your blessings, a lot of your problems will fly away. We're prone sometimes to count our problems instead of our blessings. No doubt about it. Beginning in the 119th Psalm, pick it up with me in verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Here's the text I want to kind of park on a little bit, verse 62. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. If you notice, every verse refers to the word of God. May be called law, may be called statutes, words. But all the way through the 119th Psalm, 176 verses, it's made up of 22 sections. Each of these sections, if you want to see the Hebrew alphabet in the King James Bible, you open it up to the 119th Psalm. In all these sets of 8 verses, you'll always have the Hebrew letter as it is written as a letter, and then as it's pronounced as a word. You'll find it in the 119th Psalm. And 22 sections, and mentions the Lord God Jehovah 22 times. Supernatural evidence all the way through on these verses that it's the word of God that's important. And it's a great one for us to meditate on and think about. I think of this verse 62 here, where it says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee. Have you ever done that? You know what it is to meet with the Lord in the midnight hour, in the wee hours of the morning sometime? I think probably most of us do. And it's a sweet time when you can feel like it's just you and God. Amen. It's a week of Thanksgiving, a good time for us to thank. You know, thanksgiving comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word think, T-H-I-N-K, think full, F-U-L-L. If you think full, you'll be thankful. The truth of the matter is, most of the time we are in so much of a hurry to get more, we don't stop and think about what we have. We ought to, amen? And it was a good time. I hope you had a good time with your family this week. We did. We met with family. Some of our family is hurting. Got them on the prayer list and that sort of thing. And some folks met with family, and you'll not be able to meet with those same group next year. Some of them will be going on to heaven. Some of them will already be gone. Maybe you missed some from last year. But what a great thing it is suddenly to stop all the traffic of the world and the busy schedule and say, this is what's important. And take the time that it takes. The 119th Psalm here I chose because it speaks so personally. I want to take this verse where it says, it says here at midnight, I will rise to give thanks. And I got to thinking, Mickey, what are you so thankful about? Well, I don't have time to tell you all today, I'm sure of that. But I make it a little bit personal. I'll just go through some things and you relate to you. Maybe as I relate to me a little bit, if you will, this morning. To begin with, I'm thankful to God for his care in the past. I want to say something to you. I think a lot about the past. I think about God's protection. See, God has granted me to have long life compared to many. every now and then I look in the obituary column in the paper and I see one of my friends I graduated with, another one over here, another one over there. And I say, Lord, why them? Why not me? And so I say, Lord, I'm thankful that you give me the health to stay in here and to do what I'm supposed to do. But I think about them. By the grace of God, I've been able to point some of them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm proud of that. I remember one of them one night, I was preaching up in North Florida, and it was late. And I was coming home, and I called home. I think my wife was fixing to go in the hospital the next day, or somebody was. I called home, and she told me, she said, I got a call, and so-and-so is in the hospital. And that was an old buddy. He was an old race car mechanic. He and I were great buddies. We fixed the car up together and all that stuff. And I remember more than one time when I first got saved, I'd say something to him, and he'd say this, I'm going to do it when I can live it. Well, guess what happened? Years roll by, and they'll roll by on you because you can't live it until you have it. Until you know Jesus, you can't live for Jesus. You can fake it out. You can think you're doing it, but you're not doing it. You're not earning your way. But that was what he'd say. That particular night when I got back into town, he was in the Winter Haven Hospital. When I got back into town, it was almost midnight. But instead of going home, I went on over there. I couldn't get in the hospital. It was closed. So I went through the emergency room, and I know my way around. And finally, I got to the floor. And when I got on the floor that he was on and looked down the hall, there was no lights coming under any of the doors but one. I said, that's him. It was. When I walked in there, he was laying flat on his back, looking at the ceiling with all the lights on. I don't need to tell you he was scared. It was major surgery that he was fixing to face. By the grace of God, I was able to go in there and take my New Testament out and show him how Jesus loved him and died for him and how Jesus would live it for him. And he got saved. I want to tell you something. That's wonderful to think about that and to be thankful that you could do that. But I remember when I come into a church, and I was not a church goer. I didn't get saved until I was in my early 20s. And I went into a church and I heard the best news I ever heard in my life. Jesus loved me while I was yet a sinner. I had no doubt about the sinning part. I had no doubt about who I was. But the best news I ever heard, he loved me anyhow. I want to say to you this morning, that's great news still. You say, nobody loves me, Jesus does. But you don't know what I've done, preacher, but Jesus does. And he still loves you. So what the verse says, God commended his love toward us, and that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Wow. Oh, that's the best news I ever heard. I mean, man, that was great. I remember being in the church as a young man. By the time before I got saved, and as I heard the gospel and got saved, the invitation hymn, you hear it here, we sing it all the time. It's hard to get one any better. Just as I am, without one plea. That was me. And that's you, whether you know it or not. You can't plead your own righteousness, your own goodness. That's not going to get you in. You're not going to make it that way. Truth of the matter is, he loved you while you're yet a sinner. Yet a sinner. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 4:19, I believe it is over there. It says, we love him because what? He first loved us. Oh, when you understand that he loves you first. And he sent the Holy Spirit of God. I think in bed he sent the Holy Spirit of God to me to convict me that I was wrong and he was right. That I was a sinner and couldn't save myself. Do you understand that? That truth is from God. He wants you to know that you've come up short. And does that convict you? Would you admit that, Lord, I'm no good for saving myself. The best day I ever had would not count for my righteousness to get me into heaven. Well, I remember getting convicted when I actually heard, and the man I realized had a drinking problem. I think he was probably a good man, but he was hooked on alcohol. I was a youngster, but I remember hearing him sit on the front porch and talk. And I heard just a little bit about the Ten Commandments. I didn't know anything about the Ten Commandments. Do you know anything about the Ten Commandments? Yeah, 10 big ones. God gave them directly to Moses on the mount, remember? Wrote them in fire, wrote them with his own finger. And I remember hearing a few of them quoted, probably by a fellow that loved his bottle. And you know what? They stayed with me. And every now and then it would hit me and convict me. Ten Commandments says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Ten Commandments says, you honor your parents. Next thing I'd know, I'd have a conviction because God's word was written. It was there. And the truth is, I thank the Lord for that. And I want to say, when I did hear the gospel and receive Christ in a church just like this, God flooded my soul with a peace that I've never lost. I was singing a while ago and I said, thank God he doesn't leave us. He stays. It is a peace that passes understanding. I mean, the understanding can be things are bad. But in the midst of it, you have peace. I remember reading a story. Most of us in school read something about the big rock of Gibraltar. And I remember somebody asked an artist to paint a picture of peace. And when they got the picture, they thought he'd made a mistake. It was a part of the ocean, and a storm was raging. The clouds was dark, and the lightning was flashing. They said, no, we want a picture of peace. He said, look closer, look closer. And they looked, and there was the big rock of Gibraltar. They said, what? He said, look closer. And they looked, and there was a crevice in the rock, and a little bird was in the crevice. Safe from the storm, safe from the lightning. He said, that's a picture of peace. You ever sang the song, Rock of Ages, cleft for me? You and I and Jesus, we're in the cleft of the rock. We've got peace when the world is storming all around us. You understand what I'm talking about? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. And I thank God when he saved me, he gave me that peace. I still have that peace today. I thank the Lord he called me to serve him. I want to say to you, much of our college is out now for the holiday, but I'd say to them and to any of you, if God calls you to serve him, give him the benefit of the doubt. You can trust him. You can trust him. And you say, I want to see the end of it. No, he won't show you the end of it, but he'll show you step by step by step. If you're willing to trust him, give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I'm thankful to him for the care in the past, even when I didn't know him, that he was watching over me. And certain things I got into and dangers and all the things I could tell, I look back and see hindsight so much better. And I look back and see the hand of God saved me there, and the hand of God saved me there. And I thank him for the care in the past. I thank him also for his love right now in the present. For his love right now. Now. You say, people, I heard something this week. Preacher, don't you know that folks talk about you? Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that rumor. Yeah. And some of the things are plumb funny. I told somebody this week, we was having the preachers meeting, and a bunch of us preachers sitting at the table eating, and one of them I didn't know from nobody, never seen him before, and I heard him ask, speak up, and he said to me, he said, didn't you get this done? Didn't you stop the county from doing this? Didn't you stop the city from doing it? I said, man, I've never heard that. Don't know what you're talking about. But if it was wrong, I was against it. Amen. But I didn't stop it. Maybe somebody worried about what I was going to say or do. I don't know. That kind of rumor and talk. Yeah, I've heard people talk. Bible says, and I argued with God about this when he called me to this church almost 50 years ago, 1 year lacking yet. I said, Lord, that's the town I spun my hot rod tires in. That's the town where the police wrote me a ticket and told me not to do it no more. All that kind of stuff. Lord, you calling me back there to be a pastor? I said, the Bible says a prophet's not without honor, saving his own country. Lord called me anyhow, and it's worked out pretty good by the grace of God. Amen. I know some folks. I had a lady come out. I hadn't been preaching long. She come out the door and shook hands with me. I'd maybe been here 2 years, 3 years, something. And a gray-headed lady, and she said, Mickey. And I looked at her close. She said, I never thought God would make a preacher out of you. I said, no, ma'am, I didn't either. You know who it was? It was my elementary school principal. She paddled the fire out of me and several others. But I want to tell you what, God surprised a lot of folks. Amen. He is the God of surprises sometimes. He can take that that somebody else thought was cast aside and never amount to nothing and make something out of it. Amen. I've said this. I know who I am. I'm a nobody, but I know somebody that makes me good as anybody. Amen. That somebody is Jesus. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes, he saved me, gave me peace, and he even called me to serve him. You know, and he loves me in the present. No matter what anybody says, he loves me in the presence. You know, his love still lasts. Still forgives. You say, preacher, you still need forgiveness? Well, ask my wife. And I'll ask yours. Amen? Somebody said the Pope wouldn't think he was perfect if he was married. Amen. No, we all need forgiveness. Thank God he still has forgiveness. And he still loves us enough to forgive us and start us over. God is not in the business when you trip of pushing you down and stepping on you. I think about the little boy walking with his dad and holding hands, and it was muddy, and it was icy, and it was slick. And the little boy wanted to hold his dad's hand. His dad kept saying, let me hold yours. He said, I'll hold yours, Daddy. Directly his feet went out from under him, and he fell in the mud. He got back up and said, okay, Dad, now you can hold my hand. Understand the picture? Let God hold your hand. I've heard folks get up and give a testimony. I'm holding on to God. You're in bad shape. You're going to slip. Let him hold on to you. He'll never let go. That's the truth of the scripture. Amen? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I mean, his love is still forgiving me, taking care of me. Listen, folks, I know the flesh is weak. And the Bible says the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, but God helps you go over that flesh when you let him hold you instead of you holding him. Somebody said that, of course, the Bible says here in the Psalms that man's time is 70 or 70 years. And somebody said that when God created everybody, he gave them all the animals and the man, gave them 40-year lifespan. But man began to whine and say it wasn't enough. Not enough. So the horse said, okay, he's whining over there, Lord, I'll give him 10 of mine. So the dog spoke up and said, well, I don't think I really need all that 40. And if man's going to whine about it, he can have 10 of mine. And The monkey spoke up and said, well, I guess I'll give him 10 of mine. That's why when a man reaches 40, the next 10 years he works like a horse. And the next 10 years he lives like a dog. And the last 10 years he just monkeys around. That makes his 70, amen. I don't think that's true, but some guys might think it is, amen. Some wives might think it is, amen. But the truth of the matter is, God loves us all the way from beginning to end. If it's 70 years, if it's 80, if it's 90, whatever, the Lord is still there. He's still there. Thank God he is. And he loves us in the present as well as in the past. You know, I'm glad though I go on and finish it and say, I'm thankful that he has provision for me in the future. Provision laid up for me in the future. Psalms 37, psalmist said, I once was young and now I'm old. Said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What a promise, folks. Psalms 37. Is the calendar getting fulfilled in your life? Is the birthdays coming pretty quick? Are you having trouble getting the driver's license renewed? Are you facing the truth that you could walk up to the calendar and say, when that date arrives, I probably won't be here? We could all do that, couldn't we? But you know, if you got the peace of God in your heart and he's providing for you, you can handle that. You can handle that. The truth is, yeah, we were young. Now we're old. But the testimony, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. God's not going to forsake the righteous. And then it says his seed begging. You know what? We grandparents start worrying about our grandkids, don't we? Our seed. How are they going to turn out? Well, the same God that took care of you and I can take care of them. Our job is to introduce them to him and to live for him so they'll see it's real and genuine and let's have the peace we can trust even the wayward child to the Lord. Amen. Truth of the matter is, there's a promise in the book that when they're old, they'll not depart if we raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'll tell you, as a pastor, I've dealt with many that wanted to come home after they'd got out in the hog pen and got out in the mud hole and got out in deep trouble. Finally, I wish they'd come home quicker. I wish they'd wake up. I wish they'd never get in the hog pen, but the prodigals are going to keep on doing it. But we that are the fathers need to be home so they can come back to that is stable and that is consistent and that can help them. Yes, we do. God is still able to make provision for the future. I know we're going to have troubles. Job said, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yeah, we are. Yeah, there's going to be fears. We're human. There's going to be sickness. Yes, there's going to be death. War, as far as the world scene goes, all of that. But I guess probably you and I that have been here a long time, we probably, if we got any fears that we hadn't turned over to God, it would be for tomorrow. It'd be for the future. But I want to say to you, he's there too. He was there in the past. He's there now. And he'll be in the future. That's his promise. What is it? Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Listen, you may bankrupt your bank account. Your car may break down. But God's storehouse will never be empty. And he's got provision in it for you and I. Do you trust him that way? As we moved this week into our Thanksgiving season, what a good thing it'd be to just take the Psalms and meditate a little bit. Say, Lord, forgive me for always wanting more. Let me look back and see what I've already got. And see how you've taken care of me. I want to say to you, if you're here and you're unsaved, you don't know the way out because the world don't know the way out. The doctors don't know the way out. The politicians don't know the way out. But Jesus is the way out. He is the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what he said. And he didn't lie to us. He's real. He's genuine. The way out is to know the Lord Jesus Christ that went to prepare a place for us. I remember some of you have been there, Coal Mountain up in North Carolina years ago. Corbett family in our church at that time owned kind of a vacation spot up on top of the hill, old-fashioned log houses and stuff, great place. And Sonia and I were up there more than once, but I remember this particular time. It was used as a youth camp some, so there was a tabernacle, chapel on it. Now, I don't know that particular day, but I had slipped away into the chapel with my Bible, doing a little studying, and just me in the chapel. And I kept hearing a noise. And finally, I looked up into the beams, and there was a sparrow, a bird, a little bird, flying around. Somehow he got in the door when it was open, but now he couldn't get out. He could not find a way out. And he had flown around that building till he was so tired. You could see him when he would land, his wings would just droop down. And I don't know if birds sweat, but it looked like he was. And his mouth was open and he just was hurting. And I just sat there and watched him and I thought, if I could talk bird talk, I'd tell him how to get out. I went and opened the door. But he kept searching for a way out and searching for a way out. And then he'd get so tired, he'd finally settle down. And I just sat there and kind of watched him. All of a sudden, he spotted that open door. Man, he was gone. Now I want to say to you, you've been circling, you're getting tired, you're drooping down, you can't find the way out. Jesus is the way out. He's an open door. He says in the scripture, I am the door. Have you ever come to him and found your way out? I don't know what you're going through, but he's a way out. He's a way to one day be in heaven with the Lord and reunited with loved ones that's gone ahead of you. But if you don't know him, you keep on trying to do it yourself. One day it's going to be too bad. Too bad. Why don't you come to the Lord Jesus this morning? Do what I did one time when I walked in the church and heard the good news that he loved me while I was yet a sinner. And I came and received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can do that this morning. You can leave here knowing I found the way out. It's Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me, please? While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many of you say, preacher, I need to find the way out? I've been searching. I've been hurting. I don't have the answer. I'm going to pray in just a moment. Would you slip that hand up and say, preacher, think about me when you pray? Yes, thank you. Others, would you just lift that hand? Yes, thank you. Anybody else, just lift your hand before I pray. Let's stand, please. Father, we come to you in prayer. And Lord, we just kind of bragged on Jesus this morning. Just kind of reminisced a little bit, Lord, about your care and your love and your provision for us. And Father, I pray this morning we're going to give an invitation for people to come and find a way out. Receive the Lord Jesus just like I did and like so many in this building did. I pray for them right now. Father, I have no other power except to ask that your Spirit speak to them. It'll be up to them to surrender to your call. Father, as we sing a song here in your house, after preaching from your word, we pray your Spirit would speak to that one that needs Jesus this morning and then not leave here lost. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. We're going to sing. I'm going to step to the front. Will you meet me here? Will you come receive Christ? Will you find a way out this morning? I pray you will. You come as we sing.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come? Will you come?
Right now. Thou bidst me come.
as we sing, will you come?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come.
Let's bow our heads a moment. You think about what we were singing, O Lamb of God, I come. Many fears, many doubts, but you cross over them, you walk over them. You come on to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on Him, trust Him with it all. O Lamb of God, I come. That's the promise of the gospel, the promise of the Word of God. Jesus is the Lamb of God. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's you. That's you. Aren't you glad it says whosoever? It doesn't say a particular race. It doesn't say a particular name. He loved the world, the Bible says. That's the world of people. Us. How about you this morning? How about you? Invitation's still open. You leave your seat, come down the aisle. People all around you praying for you to do that. Many of them remembering, as I said some things this morning, they're remembering back God's care for them, God's love from them when they might have not even loved themselves very much. And then how God's provided, even when it was not easy to see how, still He provided. I'm going to ask Brother Bert to lead one more verse of the invitation song, You Can Still Come.
Just as I am, poor wretched,
how about you?
Blind,
how about you?
Sight rich as healing of the mind, yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
All right, we're going to let you be seated in the congregation and share with you some here. Jessica, stand up here with me. I'm going to let you help me with your last name here.
Jessica Villalobos.
Okay. She comes and gives me a confession of knowing Christ and wants to be baptized this morning. And so we have a motion to be baptized, show of hands, I'm so cared. All right, so some of you ladies, give me a hand here and go right around the corner with her. Okay, here we go. Thank you. Then we have another one we'll share with you here in just a moment. Okay, Diane Gargan, did I say that right?
Gargani,
okay. Stand up here with me, Diane. She's come receiving Christ as a Savior. That's great. Have you talked with her baptism yet? Hadn't had time yet. All right, have a motion to receive Diane for baptism after she's been talked with about it. We're so glad she got saved this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let you be seated back there again, Diane, and we'll remember to get you down here and let folks shake hands with you in a minute, give you a welcome into our church. Well, we believe we got everybody. Okay, we're real proud for these. Amen. And Brother Birch, you want to go ahead and lead us in something as we wait for baptism?
Number 575 in your hymn books, 575. Sunlight, sunlight in this world today. I wandered in the dark shades of night till Jesus came to me. 575. I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me. And with the sunlight of His love bid all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul
clouds may gather in the sky and billows round me roll. However dark the world may be, sunlight in my soul. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within. While walking in the light of God, I communion find. I press with holy vigor on the world behind. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, He took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love with. I cross the wide extended fields, I've on the plain, and in the sunlight of His love I reap the golden grain. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of His love within.
Sister Jessica, upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of His death. Praise you all for the goodness of life.
Well, amen. Let's stand, please. All right, we're going to let Diane step back here, and folks, you can come by and shake hands. Rejoice with her over being saved. Bible tells us the angels in heaven rejoice over one. Amen? So if you're visiting with us today, we're glad to have you. Some of the ushers back there will shake hands with you. I'm not going back there. Somebody's going to make a comment and hurt my feelings if I do. I'm very tender-hearted, and I don't want that to happen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody. God bless you. You're dismissed.